Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. And to those of these that will be watching or listening and by way of internet, we ask a blessing upon your lives as well. We're glad that you'll be able to share the word in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1 and 2. We have a box at the back. We don't take the offering as we usually do. So we have a box at the back. So when you leave today, you can place your offering there as well. So we thank you for it and ask God's blessing upon that as well. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that in the last days, times would come on the face of the earth that would be referred to as perilous times. I can't think of probably a more time that would be such as it is today. We've had a pandemic that has involved the entire world. It was a global pandemic. We have political upheaval in so many countries. We have a war that's already going on. The Bible said that when you shall see wars and rumors of wars, there will be famines. We've had food shortages. So about everything you can think of has been going on in our time that we're living. Even people who aren't church people are talking about it and referring to it. There are people that are becoming more interested in the Bible than ever before. But there's also a large amount of people that are falling away from the faith. In fact, even among God's own people, the Lord said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Was the question the Lord directed. Will I find faith on the earth? There are some that are forsaking their faith, and the church seems to be shrinking. But I can tell you that God will raise up a standard in the last day. So what does it mean for us who follow our Lord? The psalmist had answered this very boldly. In all that he does, he said, will prosper. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3. So how is this possible? Are we oblivious to everything that's happened around us? It seems like we have inflation and all kinds of costs and prices going up and up. It was a comedian I heard one day saying that things are looking up. Gas is up, inflation's up, everything's up. He said everything's looking up. Are these the times? I believe that Apostle Paul is right in referring to this particular time as perilous. Were there other perilous times? Yes, there were. There were other perilous times, but such a time as this. The scripture goes on to say in the Psalms chapter 2, why did the heathen rage? The kings of the earth are set themselves, rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Have you ever seen a time where persecution against Christians is at an all-time high? Persecuting anybody that's a Christian, ridiculing, making fun of them. Of those that are Christians, those that stand to be a Christian. Ever see a time such as this? We are living in it. We're living in this time. We're being made fun of. We're being made ridiculed. The Bible's old-fashioned. Cultures have been affected all around the world. I don't need the Bible. I know what's right and what's wrong and what's best for me. Don't you tell me what's best for me. I know what's best for me. We should see those signs of protests recently. With the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And by the way, wasn't done right the first time. Those that make the laws tell us it wasn't done right the first time. It should have never happened the way it did. They just simply put it back into the state where it should have been originally. That's all. So those who protest and don't know what they're protesting about. Wasn't done right the first time. Abortion, God hates it. By the way, he hates this shedding of innocent blood. Read it. During the time of the king of Manasseh shed a lot of innocent blood in his day. And God referred to it, the prophets referred to it, and he hated that day when the innocent blood was shed. But every culture everywhere, why do the nations rage? With all this chaos that's happening, how am I supposed to survive and even continue to live? Well, this is what I want to talk about. This is why I turned to this passage of scripture. I want to share this with you. There is a river. And by the way, the river that speaks about, the book of Revelation spoke of it in the book of Revelation. talked about the river of life, but the river I'm going to talk about this morning is that spiritual river that we have through the life of Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of the turmoil, the psalmist opened it up. Blessed is the man. Blessed. Even in a time of trouble, even in a time of perilous times, God's people can live a blessed life, and I want to share how that can be possible. The psalmist went on to explain, and he did it in a very specific way. Blessed is a man who walks, and listen, this is what we're going to talk about, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We see here a progression of evil, and I'm going to relate to it a little later in the message. We see here the progression of evil. The first thing the psalmist says, there's three things that we need to avoid. To be blessed, there are certain things you cannot expose yourself to. You cannot participate, nor should you partake of. These are the things that we cannot involve ourselves if we want to prosper during times of famine. It's not a list of don'ts. It's God's wisdom to us on how to live and thrive no matter what circumstances might come upon us. Today, that word blessed has a very lower meaning compared to what it was during the time that was written in the scripture. When we hear it, it suggests a problem-free life, perhaps. Maybe materialistic ease, where you don't have everything you need, you don't really need anything. Is that another way that we say it's blessed? But the biblical sense of the word blessed means happy or fortunate, complete in God's ways, complete in all his blessings, complete in his goodness that he has designed for us. So how are we to walk in such blessedness, as the scripture says? Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't stand in the place that sinners do. In other words, don't go where you shouldn't be going. If you can't take Jesus with you, you probably shouldn't go there either. Hello? If you can't take Jesus with you, don't go there yourself. Stay away from these places. This is what the scripture says. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't listen to what the world's saying. The world has a lot to say, but don't listen to them. Don't listen to that advice. Listen to the advice that the Bible has, not the wicked advice. Don't stand in the place where sinners usually stand, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Sometimes we have to put spiritual blinders on. Does anybody know what blinders are? Does anybody know why they put them on horses? Why do they put blinders on horses? Why do they? Right. So the horse isn't affected by that which is around him. Isn't that what sometimes we have to do as Christian believers? Put some of these on so we're not affected by the things that's going on around us. So we're not affected by that. So many of us become affected by these things. And we sometimes have to do that so that we're not affected by it. Put some of these things on us around us. It shows a progression here. It starts with walking by something that's evil, then stopping and standing to observe it, and finally sitting down to partake of it. You see the progression here? You see the progression? Walking, then looking, as David did. When David was to be out with his men in battle that day, he walked out on the rooftop and he was looking. And the look wasn't as bad as what he did after the look. He sat down, as the scripture would say here. He sat down and participated in it. He desired to have someone that he wasn't supposed to have, somebody else's wife, the Hittite's wife. He desired to have her. She was beautiful. But he had already had many beautiful women. Why did he want one more? Why is that? Why is that? That we just got to have a little more. Never satisfied, not content. We just got to have a little bit more. Plain and simple, the psalmist said this is a spiritual requirement if we want to be blessed. It takes resolve and it takes diligence. And then we need to translate that into action. This isn't about sheer willpower with ourselves. It's about participating in the grace of God. As God said to Paul, when Paul wanted his thorn in the flesh removed, God said, "My grace is sufficient, Paul." And I can tell you today that God's grace is sufficient for you no matter what you're going through. This isn't something new. Many people perhaps have trodden on the same road that you have or you are now. And it's hard and it's difficult. But I can tell you that God's grace is sufficient for you. It is sufficient for you. It's still sufficient. The psalmist said, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This isn't something that you come to church and sort of just plug in, and I'm thinking about plugging in because I see all these commercials for these battery-operated cars. Maybe, who knows, the church parking lot might have a plug-in station, but I'm liking this, like sometimes we come to church on Sunday and we think we want to plug in and get a charge for the week. Are you listening to me? It's not that way, and it should never be that way. You see, the Christian life is something that you should be living every day, not just on Sundays. Every day should be a Christian way of living. You should be displaying God's love in your life every day. Somebody should be able to see God's love in you. You should be displaying that so somebody can feel uplifted and encouraged and strengthened. You see, it's not just about plugging in on Sunday. It's about meditating on the Word of God day and night. Don't just hurry over the Word. Read the Word. As meditation, the word meditation actually means to chew on it. Chew on it. I remember one time somebody said to me, "Why does your church sing that chorus so many times?" Well, I guess you're trying to get the juice out of it. Or chewing on it. Trying to get the juice out of it. But meditation, the word meditation, has to do with chewing on it, thinking about it, pondering about it, and saying, "Lord, what does your word have to say to me today? What should I be getting from your word today? I've read your word, and sometimes it's hard for me to understand it. I'm with you. I'm with you. I've been there. I know what that's like. But I can tell you, at 68 years old, I can still now enjoy God's word more than I have ever enjoyed it in my lifetime. And I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that I have a better understanding of his word today than I did when I was a child, because there were so many things I didn't understand. Sometimes it brought confusion for me. But today God has really been helping me with that, because there's not as much confusion anymore. There's still some things that happens, and I wonder why God allows these things to happen. It's puzzling to me. It's hard for me sometimes to understand why God allows some of these things to happen. But I say, "Lord, just please help me. Help me to grasp it. Help me to understand it. Please help me understand it." The blessed man or woman learns God's ways by delighting. Oh, I can remember when I was younger, I just really didn't enjoy church as much as I enjoy church now. When I was younger, it was because confusion. I didn't understand a lot of things. And because of that, I didn't get the enjoyment out of going to church as I should have when I was younger. But now I love church and I miss it when I'm not here, because I get so much from it. And I'm so glad that God's able to do that. And he can do that with you if you're having problems in that area. God will be able to do that with you. You see, God arranges and he orchestrates our blessedness. He places us near his living stream. Look at verse 3. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water." If you allow yourself to be planted by that river, you're going to grow as that stream brings life. It produces delight. That's what I'm talking about. The longer I serve him, as the song says, the sweeter he grows. The more I love him, the more love he bestows. Oh, how beautiful that song really is. In this chaotic world that we're living in, many of us sometimes struggle rather than have delight. But I want you to see here that the well-planted tree will yield its fruit in its season, verse 3. It will yield its fruit in its time and season. God brings the fruit that he wants from us in his own time. We sing a song here, in God's time. Oh, today it's so hard to wait on God sometimes because we get impatient. We want God then to do it now, fix it now. And I understand perhaps why we're this way. We have everything so instant today. Instant. Instant potato mash. Instant heat in the microwave, just a few seconds. Throw your clothes in a washer and just about instantly they're clean. We have so many things that happen so quickly. Wash day used to be wash day, didn't it? Do you remember? How many of you remember wash day? I remember the old Ringer washer. I remember mother had some of these metal stays, I think they're called, that she'd try to put those in the pants so that, I don't know if you didn't have to iron them, I guess. It kept them straight. How many of you remember them? What were they called? From stays? Metal stays. These are bone people. I have no idea what they are today. I think they were adjustable for anybody's pants. But I'm talking about why we don't want to wait on God. Because we're so used to having everything like this. And we're all affected by it. Every one of us have been affected by it. And I have to apologize to the Lord. Sometimes I get impatient when I get to the grocery store and I'm ready to check out. There's 14 registers and there's one open and they're standing all the way back in the peanut butter line. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I just gotten impatient. I'm sorry. You see, God's ways are not our ways. His ways are so much higher than our ways. So much higher than our ways. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel that seems to be prevalent today in many of our TV churches. That if you get saved, boy, you're going to live a trouble-free life and everything's going to be hunky-dory prosperity. No, I'm not talking about that. You see, according to God's prosperity, prosperity isn't always based on material things. You see, if you're saved today and you know Jesus as your Savior, you are very prosperous. That's the prosperity I'm talking about today. Not the materialistic. Is your job status shaky today? Are you worried about your finances going to hold out? Is your marriage under stress today? I can tell you, and I can tell you with all the assurance, if you follow Jesus with your whole heart, you'll be living a blessed life. A blessed life. You are consecrated to Jesus, righteous and holy, because you have been planted by a powerful stream of the river of life. And Christ is nurturing fruit in you that will come to pass in its season. It will come to pass. In due season. The prophet Malachi declared, and now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to test and they seem to escape. Chapter 3, verse 15. Boy, my neighbor and I have discussed this lots of times, haven't we? Why does it seem like the evil prosper? Well, the answer is, it may seem that they do, And we see that we sometimes think they are prospering, but the Lord says, it's going to be all over in a moment. It'll be all over in a moment. Remember, the Lord said about the Pharisees, he said, behold, they have their reward. Do you remember that? Do you know what he was talking about? The chief places, wherever they would be invited, they would enjoy the chief places and the pat in the back and the things that the people would say about them. The Lord said, behold, they are enjoying their reward because it's the only one they're going to get. They have their reward. They're enjoying it here on earth. They're already enjoying it. And you know, sometimes we see that happen here, but God says it's going to end very quickly. Very quickly it's going to end. The psalmist said, the one who prospers in his way, the man who carries out the evil devices. And a few verses later, chapter 44, verse 7, it says, the psalmist goes on to contrast the lives of the righteous. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And the apostle Paul picks up on that, and he talks about that very thing. Paul answers it directly by quoting the very psalmist. He wrote the following when he wrote to the church in Rome. Listen to what he said. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, listen, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. He quoted that from this very scripture in Psalms. That was where he quoted. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, or height, or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. What a powerful passage. And Paul defined it. What it means for the righteous to prosper. It doesn't mean that we'll always enjoy good health. Doesn't mean that. It don't mean that we'll always flourish in good health. It doesn't mean that we will live trouble-free lives. No, but in all things we are more than conquerors, because no matter what the circumstance is confronting us, we'll never be moved away from our place by that powerful stream that is in Christ, that river of life. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Verse 3 and 4 of Psalms chapter 1. The ways of the wicked won't stand, including those who are corrupting the body of Christ by talking about the possessions as being God's blessings. Let me tell you, where this world is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And you see, the psalmist said that God will address this. This will be addressed. Therefore, listen, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 5 of Psalms. You see, the righteous judgment is coming. On that day, Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats in his house. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalms 1:6. All the nations raging against God will be blown away like the chaff in the wind. And so he advises them, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Verse 10, 11, and 12. Imagine the day when that ultimate fruit of righteousness is going to be in display in the very presence of God. We'll see all the ways that Jesus has caused us to prosper. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of the wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37, 1 through 4. Delight yourself in him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you, I've had more fun being a Christian than I can ever remember. God has given me all the desires of my heart. He has given it. He knows what your desires are. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what makes you happy and joyful. He knows all that. And he wants to give you that. But he wants you to follow him. Follow him. Be obedient to him. It's not always easy. But be obedient to him and do what's right. It's always right to do what's right. So do what's right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Your desires will be fulfilled. But delight in him. We're not broken, nor are we defeated. We're suffering, and some of us enduring. And yet, Scripture says we are prospering. We are rooted and grounded by that great river of life that's in our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a blessed life that will carry us through every trial that will come our way. I'll ask our praise team to come at this time. We're going to have a time of anointing. The Bible says in James, there's very sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church, let them anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick.